Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh. How so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit. Or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
He has to pay the iron price.
He has to pay the iron price.
I'll never respect you while he lives.
Watch it all come around as I lay on the ground. Joffrey's mercy, ill and pain to hound. They all think I'm lost, but I know where I'm found. I'm the blood in the north when it all comes down. My word is my bond, and my bond is my word. Valar Dohaeris, all men must serve. See as the raven flies, and time slips by. Valar Morghulis, all men must die.
Welcome to the Game of Thrones podcast brought to you by baldmove.com. We are the officially unofficial podcast for HBO's Game of Thrones television series. Jim,
yeah,
this is a big episode 9. Game of Thrones episodes 9 are always awesome and dramatic.
Yeah.
This is called A Watcher in the Wall. What did you think?
So 20 minutes into this, I was kind of scared. Actually, a minute and a half into the previously on, I was fucking frightened.
Why?
I thought, oh my God, this is going to be an episode all about the love story between Jon and Ygritte. I was ready to tear my hair out,
really,
thinking of what an atrocity that would have been. 20 minutes into this episode, I decided, okay, all right, this is the episode I was really looking forward to.
All right.
It's not very nuanced. It's just mostly a gigantic battle, right?
So what did you think? Did you like it?
Yes, I thought the battle was fucking epic.
Okay.
Between, you know, the giants and Jon Snow finally getting unleashed on people.
Yeah, that's true.
I was happy pretty much all around.
All right. This is the first time in my memory that I can remember being disappointed by a Game of Thrones episode.
Okay. I have a couple things I could talk about there, but
it was
why so disappointed?
It was both less epic than I was imagining.
Huh. Okay.
And also, so if it was less epic, I thought they could make it more personal, because there was a lot of interesting,
yeah,
dramatic lines there, and like people to step up and do these things, and I thought there, you know, there's some crowning moments of awesome for everybody, but I thought it was also very impersonal as well.
Yeah, it kind of was. They tried to do some stuff that was pretty personal at the beginning, but none of it felt quite right. I think the tone was a little off. With Sam and John, they tried to kind of go heartfelt with the sex explanation.
Yeah.
And they try to impress upon us how close they were to death here. I get that. But it really didn't work because they were also trying to be funny, I think, at the same time. Like, mm-hmm. Look at this awkward situation for John.
Right.
But neither of them landed.
It wasn't the right type of humor. It wasn't gallows humor. It was,
yeah,
locker room talk.
it didn't say, like, I'm about to go off to my death quite enough to me.
What did a feat look like? I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say, because it wasn't bad, mm-hmm. but it was just kind of a meh for me. And it's
yeah,
hard to describe that in a when you know, I've been wanting to see giants riding on mammoth for a while.
Yeah.
And that really was awesome, and that mm-hmm. was epic. The sigh when they hadn't released that was very epic. That big,
what is the side?
That big blade that swept down the face of the wall and just brutalized.
How many times can you use that though before your wall crumbles? That's what I'm wondering.
Well, I felt like that thing has been winched up there for 100 years,
uh-huh.
and it just had like a whole, like, so many icicles hanging from that chain that you saw like layers of just 100 years of ice coming in there. I don't think it was designed to like destroy the wall proper.
Okay.
That
was,
yeah,
pretty epic.
It's a big wall. That was cool, but I just felt like there was a lot of, oddly, the 100,000 wildlings.
Mm-hmm.
There was a whole lot of this kind of ninja warrior bullshit where they come in a single file and it's one-on-one combat. And
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so I have no idea what the community reaction will be, because honestly, that's not how we do these things.
Sure, not the instant
come over
cast,
and
anyway.
We say whatever.
Yeah,
but I, you know, and it wasn't terrible, but it was underwhelming, especially for an episode 9.
Okay,
and it felt like at the end nothing really happened except for we lost probably at least a third of the Black Brothers.
Seems like it. Definitely more than the 1,000-to-1 ratio they need.
And the commando mission utterly failed. They're not going to be able to just open up the gates from the other side and be like, come on in. That was the
commando
whole...
Commando. Yeah, the giant getting in?
No. That was the whole point of them attacking the other side. You know, they went up and over the wall last season. They're going to attack the brothers while they're all up on the wall and open up the gates and it'd be game over. That obviously failed, but you still have 100,000 wildlings minus a couple hundred maybe.
Yeah, and minus the only two giants I saw. That could be a huge factor, right?
Yeah, I know giants aren't exactly plentiful.
And when the first one died from that gigantic arrow, which was fucking awesome as well, I got the impression by the scream from the other one that it was kind of the last one left at the battle, at least.
I don't. John mentioned that Mance has other giants and more mammoths, so I would feel like
along the wall though.
Yeah, I mean,
I sent those two in. Yeah, two will be enough.
Yeah, to pull down. And what's funny is two giants and a mammoth and 10 men couldn't pull the gate down.
Yeah,
but one giant could just go up there and squat it up, clean and jerk that thing.
Yeah,
that might have been a better
plan. He went into Superman lift a car off a baby mode, where the car starts to run over the baby and the mom jumps in there and just lifts it up while the kid gets out or something.
So he had super berserker giant strength.
Yeah, he saw the other one killed and he was like, oh, fuck that.
If only they could have harnessed that. If only they could have simulated the dude dying and then he got up there and people come up with some, logs and jam him underneath the gates, game over.
He could have got one of those giant-sized arrow through the head hats.
Exactly. Yeah, Steve Martin.
Yeah, and then fallen over.
He did beast mode that inner gate though.
Yeah, he did.
That was kind of crazy.
And he got killed trying it.
Yeah, I'm glad I tried to get you to memorize John's inner circle's names.
Didn't happen, though. I didn't know any of their names.
Well, it's a good thing you didn't commit any of your brain cells to that, because other than Ed, who's the short, dark one that kind of cracks bad jokes all the time, and Sam, they're all dead now.
Yeah. Yeah, Sam's buddy died, too.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
I'm kind of curious what happened to Alistair, because he got sliced and dragged off the field.
Yeah.
But we never saw him again.
What do you think? I mean, how do you think he
comported
himself? His
guts looked pretty bad at that point.
Looked like a flesh wound. I didn't see any guts spilling out.
And there were no guts spilling out, but when he got slashed, a lot of blood
right
came out.
Right in the groin?
Yeah.
You don't want to get slashed in the groin.
No, you don't. Just ask Varys about that.
Or Grey Worm.
Yeah. So I feel like he's still alive, but he's not going to be out on the battlefield anymore.
Mm.
I mean, he fell off the second story thing. Although, he fell into hay, so never mind. That was not a problem.
Right.
There were a couple of weird things, though, that I didn't understand.
Like,
why, when you're inside a fortification shooting out, you would light your arrows on fire?
I don't know. Maybe so you can, it's dark. You gotta, it's like tracer fire. You lead it. You're like, how would you know where your arrows are going to adjust?
But I saw Ygritte dodge, three or four arrows. See the arrow coming because it was on fire and dodge it.
From the top of the wall. From the top of the wall, your arrows are on fire, what the hell are you doing?
From the bottom.
Yeah, I mean, potentially a valid point. I guess because it looks cool.
That's
I was gratified to see, because that's the first thing I was like, if they start landing arrows to the top of the wall, I'm going to call some bullshit.
She tried, yeah.
And then it's kind of comical how
halfway up the wall or something.
But then that giant with the that was pretty badass.
I was going to ask you what you think the draw strength on a giant bow is.
I don't even fucking know. Because I guess some of those English longbow could have 175-pound draw weights.
So that's going to be... It's probably 1,000.
I guess a full half ton draw weight. I mean, it launched a man 30, 40 feet up in the air when it hit him.
That was so cool.
It was pretty cool. That was a good spot. That and the side, that was pretty impressive. I like that.
Yeah.
Imaginative.
Yeah, they did end up paying a high price for not sealing that tunnel, though, because they had to defend it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they could have all been up on the top of the wall.
Yeah, Grin and his six buddies, or five buddies, would have survived had it not been Sir Alistair's pig-headedness. What did you think of the way he comported himself on the battlefield?
He's a badass, no doubt. He can handle a sword. And I thought some of his discussion with Jon beforehand about being a leader was, you know, maybe as close as he gets to an apology. Like he said, you were right. We should have sealed the thing, but I was a leader. I had to just follow my gut. Otherwise, what am I doing?
What'd you think about brother Janos Slynt? He's the bald, mutton-chopped, former City Watch commander.
That's kind of when I started to get back on board, when Jon Snow was trying to tell him, like, we got to do some shit here instead of just sitting around. And then his friend comes up and he calls the bald guy away. It's like, oh, someone really important needs you. And he takes that opportunity immediately. Oh, yes, thank God. I don't have to be up here.
Right.
I thought that's where I started to turn again. I was like, all right, Jon's in command. We're going to see some badassery. I liked it.
It does seem like they make a little too much of the effectiveness of leaders screaming, notch, draw, and loose.
Sure.
Like if there's no one up there screaming, the archers just don't know what the fuck to do. They're staring at each other. These arrows and bows and the bubbling pitch. It's like, I forget what it's for. Without a man constantly telling me to notch, draw, and release, what the hell am I going to do?
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. If you don't have a commander, do you just start firing?
You would think.
You should, probably.
I don't know. Maybe it's like at your work when your boss is on vacation. Everybody just kind of like sits around their thumb up their ass. I ain't going to loosen there unless someone tells me to. Fuck that.
Yeah, but then when your boss comes back, and he doesn't give you any work to do, and you say, hey, boss, shouldn't we have some work to do? And he says, no, not really.
Well, I mean, we're just hanging out. I think you'd take more initiative if the paperwork or whatever your day's work was trying to kill you.
Probably,
like
yeah.
If the files, you know, fuck the files. They're just going to lay on your desk. If the files are going to get, if you weren't didn't file, then they're going to get up and murder you. You might not need a boss to say, like, open the manila folders.
Yeah.
Sort the documents. Close the files. I don't think that you'd have a little bit more urgency. I don't know.
I'm with you.
Can't armchair archery command. Commander, but okay. That's just my thoughts.
One other thing that I'm curious about, that ice looked a hell of a lot less sturdy than that gate. No chance you can melt your way through that, pick your way through that, get a giant with a big old axe swinging through the ice?
I don't know. Supposedly it's over 100 feet thick, maybe 300 feet.
Yeah, but all you got to do is get around the gate. And the inner walls. Yeah, the walls of that tunnel are ice.
Yeah. But what are you talking about?
Dig right around the gate and into the hallway instead of having those giants bust open the gate.
I don't know. There's probably some bullshit in-universe, like, that steel is embedded for hundreds of feet in all directions.
The wall's made out of dragon glass or something.
Something. They rebarred it. They've got 4 inches of rolled gold pretzels. I think that's what he said. 4 inches of rolled gold pretzels.
Yeah. Sure.
Fill the peanut butter at least 100 feet in every direction. There's no way a giant he'd get bogged down eating the delicious pretzel.
Yeah, there's only two giants there. Come on. Yeah,
that pretzel would keep him busy for days. And they keep dropping barrels of more on him as they consume it.
Yeah, that's true. That seemed to be pretty effective on everything except giants.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting. I thought it was cool that, you know, you don't think about it, but you fill a barrel full of stone, basically, and it becomes a fucking bomb after you drop it 700 feet off a wall.
That's true, yeah. I was wondering what was in those, because they weren't lit on fire when they were dropped. I was like, that's not explosives, and then it drops, and it's just rocks. And okay,
startlingly effective. I don't have a whole hell of a lot to say here, man. I mean, there was a lot of nice, quiet parts with Maester Aemon and Sam.
Sure.
I did thought that those were effective. I actually liked the Sam and Gilly stuff.
Okay.
Macking on her before the fight.
Yeah, I like some of the Sam and Gilly stuff, and I see why the Grand Maester's speech, you know, made him do what he did, confess his love for her, I guess, when she came back. But I didn't necessarily like those scenes with Aemon.
Yeah, and where do you think it goes from there, too?
Well, he promised he's never going to die.
I promise. It's funny. The first thing I thought when they say that's right off of Team America World Police.
Completely, yeah.
Yes, promise me. I can't promise you won't die. Well, I can't have sex with you unless I'll do that. I promise you I will not die. That's ridiculous, of course.
Sure.
And he's still a black brother, right? He's sworn to the Night's Watch. He just won't marry her or father any more children.
Yeah, I guess not.
It's lambskin condoms and no marriage.
Yep.
It's just casual freewheeling sex for Sam and Gilly from here on out. And they'll be fine. Sure. They'll be fine.
Yeah.
That can work.
Yeah, it's not against his oath.
Hell no. You got Ghost and John backing you up.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide. So we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Here are the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move. House of the Dragon Season 2 is coming up sooner than you think. And to get us all back in that Leal state of mind, Aaron and I have teamed up with Maester Anthony to bring you coordinated coverage, new and old. For the next 10 weeks leading up to Season 2, Maester Anthony will be releasing an episode of his Season 1 coverage on the Hot D podcast. He originally recorded and released it exclusively on his Double Dragon podcast, so while it's retro coverage, it's almost certainly new to you.
In addition, each Friday, Jim and I will be reading the relevant sections of George Martin's Targaryen history book, Fire and Blood, so that we can compare and contrast it to that week's episode of Hot D Season 1. So grab a copy of Fire and Blood and read along with us if you're so inclined. Just don't read ahead, unless you enjoy spoilers.
If that's not enough to satisfy your craving for fantasy entertainment, well, you're in luck. We recently watched King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, which is Guy Ritchie's uniquely stylish and anachronistic riff on the King Arthur legend. Yes, Guy Ritchie took on the most famous of all English legends and did it with huge ambitions. Sadly, or perhaps thankfully, depending on your tastes, his ambitions were cut short by meager audience interest. Join us for the podcast this Tuesday as we discuss why that might have been and whether this retelling is any good.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
How'd you feel about Ghost getting loose?
That was cool. He only killed one guy. I know. He or she, I don't know the wolf is.
Goddamn, I'd love to see these dire wolves go in beast mode.
Yeah. Seems like they
rip out.
Speaking
of beast mode, they're like that's their natural state, you'd think.
Beast, yeah.
It's like a human being's like, whoa, he went in beast mode. Dire wolves are just stuck in beast mode. It's like someone threw the throttle to beast mode and snapped it off. So when are we going to see that?
Not yet.
Grey Wind got taken down like a little wolf bitch. And
maybe
Lady got her slit cut.
I feel
cut
like...
throat slit.
I feel like I got ripped off in some respects, and I feel like I got paid off in others because I wanted to see this battle, but right after the mountain and Oberyn's thing, mm-hmm. and Tyrion's up in the air, like he's not executed yet, but he's been sentenced to death. Like, I really wanted to go back there and see some of that, but I guess that'll be saved for next week. Although, unless they're going to push this battle into next season, I don't know how they can do both.
Yeah, I don't know, mildly interesting all around. It'll be interesting to see how they go from here because, man, if suddenly, and I didn't feel this way even last episode because I'm like, man, they just really barreled through a lot of plot.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's a lot of stuff they need to do to kind of, you know, with this, this felt like jogging in place. Spent a lot of money and there was a lot of budget and a lot of cool stuff.
40 minutes of battle.
But nothing of important happened. Anyway, you spent 52 minutes doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I feel like the next episode, and of course they could do some weird HBO thing, the next one's 120 minutes. No, that'd be way too long. An hour and 20
sure.
minutes.
Yeah.
And get things back on track. And, it just depends on where they choose to leave things. But suddenly I feel like this season is a little pressed for time.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they need.
Just two major plot threads hanging that I want to know about.
So. Yeah, just I think this episode is going to be compared a lot to the Blackwater because it was another single location battle pretty much the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like that was a decisive thing. You spent a whole hour, it was awesome, and there was a result. And it ended something that had been building for episodes and episodes. This thing has been building since last fucking season.
Yeah.
It had a whole hour spent on it, and the resolution is punted.
Pretty much. Yeah, and I feel like Blackwater was just a much better battle. Had, you know, a lot stronger characters in it. I think, you know, John and Sam are okay, but they're not my favorites.
Yeah.
Tyrion at the time was A number one on my list.
Yeah.
So to see him kind of marshaling the troops.
Well, it did feel like it was more, you got a higher level view, like a commander's view, and there was individual battles, but you got an idea, like these men are rushing out the gate to throw back these guys, and there wasn't a whole lot. This battle just felt like a whole bunch of one-on-one combat sequences, which is kind of ridiculous when you got 100-plus guys fighting 100,000 dudes.
And the thing that I really, really loved about Blackwater was the way that it showed you this impending fear in everyone. This force is coming that we probably cannot stop.
Right.
That we most likely cannot stop. And when they get in our gates, they will kill every single one of us. And they really just hammered that point home. I mean, between Tyrion and Joffrey and Cersei even, like, her part
Cersei
of that
was
vital.
Losing and Sansa, and we had all these stakes, and whereas the wall, if it falls, and you got 100,
I mean, I still don't know if that's enough to actually hurt Westeros, but, I mean, you do lose some characters like Jon that you like if the wall falls.
Certainly, and the North is probably going to be...
But there wasn't that dread. I mean, they tried to say it through Sam, I think, but it just didn't work for me.
Yeah, and, you know, at the end of the day, you got 100 guys that swore to die doing just what they're doing with no immediate civilian casualties, and it's like an open question. So, like, 100,000 wildlings come through the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they're just going to rape and pillage their way down south until they're stopped? I mean, what is their objective?
I assume so.
Oh, that's so...
I assume they're after King's Landing. I assume that's where they're headed.
Hmm.
Mance Rayder's pissed. He's going to take over Westeros, and King's Landing is the place to do that.
I feel like that they really just want to get south of the Wall, and that's kind of their objective because they want to get away from these fucking White Walkers.
Yeah,
and winter's coming, and et cetera, et cetera.
Winter's coming. I don't know
how. Do they got to push down a Dorne? Do they got to swim down
I think
through
so.
Summer Isles and
gotta
chill out on the beach? Or they what's their game plan here?
Yeah.
All right, well, I feel like that's enough for an instant cast.
Okay.
It's going to be challenging to recap something that's so much action and so little kind of dialogue and plot advancing. This might be a very short podcast this Tuesday.
It could be. I mean, what do you say? There was fighting, and there was more fighting.
Yeah.
And
this person died, this person
Eager got shot.
Yeah, I'm curious to see
I really
what
love
thought.
That, but I'll talk about it
okay.
in the full cast.
I was going to say, I want to know how how we left things like that. We need a lot of feedback. Send it in at GameOfThrones@baldmove.com. We will discuss it as much as we can. You can also check out our show thread on Facebook.com/baldmove, and we'll have a podcast thread as well on Tuesday. And you can always talk to Jim. Please, no spoilers on Twitter @baldmove. And I think that's it.
Yeah, I think so. So we'll be back on Tuesday. And until then, I'm Jim.
And I'm Aaron. See you then.
Watch it all come around as I lay on the ground. Joffrey, Cersei, Illyn, Payne, the Hound. They all think I'm lost, but I know where I'm found. I'm the blood in the north when it all comes.